I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Join our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, who today offers us a portrait of one of his favourite Roman emperors. Claudius. Who was Claudius? What was his name to start with? Tiberius Claudius, Caesar Augustus?
No, Caesar. Tiberius Claudius. Yeah, Caesar. Augustus, well...
Why does he have so many names?
Well, it depends on where they came from, you see. And because, you know, Claudius, how does it work? Tiberius and thing there. And then he's the son of... So he's Tiberius's nephew. You see, Tiberius and Germanicus were brothers.
So it's all connected to their family names.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I read that he did a bit of name dropping in the sense that he dropped some of his names and he got rid of Nero and adopted Caesar.
Okay, okay.
Why did he do that?
Well, I mean, you know, because, well, I don't know what. Because Nero, I mean, it sounded bad, of course, is black in Latin. And that was before Nero's time, obviously. And Nero was a little baby in Claudius' time. But that was his, Claudius Nero. That was his father's name.
Of course, because he invaded Britain, he was granted the honorific title of Britannicus.
Britannicus, which he didn't use, but he gave to his son, you see. I mean, he had a title to his to Britannicus, and then he had a little boy by the name of Britannicus, who was killed. He was suffocated by Nero.
How do you say suffocated?
Yeah, strangulatus or suffocatus est. A terrible story in Tacitus, the death of Britannicus at a dinner. They kind of poisoned him or something like that. And he had like a fit or an epileptic seizure or something. It was terrible. But you see, he passed Claudius passed his name to his son, little Britannicus. Because they entered England there. And he was going to get this great title of taking over England. Well, they didn't.
Why did they invade England? Because of its material wealth. There were mines and slaves there, no?
Mines and slaves, yes. And they were interested in what was happening on that end of the world. And it was the next thing because the Romans had taken over, what do you say, Gaul, France today, Belgium, the Netherlands. The Romans had taken over the thing. The next thing was, which Caesar did twice, you know. He went across the English Channel to Britain twice, in 55 and 54 B.C.
And Claudius?
Over about 2 or 3 weeks. And then Claudius went over kind of with the idea of taking over the thing. Well, anyway.
So you mentioned Gaul. He was the first Roman emperor to be born outside of Italy, in Gaul, in fact.
Yeah.
In Lyon he was born, no?
It was
part of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, certainly. It was like the capital of Gaul in those days. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think you would have liked the French national anthem they have today, the Marseillaise?
He would not have liked that. Well, they didn't understand.
How would you translate the Marseillaise?
What? Carmen Gallicum or something like that.
Was he interested in art? He was an eclectic character, no? Claudius. Do you think he would have liked the Impressionist painters better or the great Picasso in his Cubist heyday?
I don't think he would have understood that stuff too much.
How do you translate Impressionist painters?
Oh, my Lord.
And Picasso in his Cubist heyday.
Oh, my Lord, no. Pictores Impressionum. That would be Impressionist. And Picasso... Picasso's, I don't care what his name is. What do you say?
In his Cubist heyday.
Okay. Maximo in suo cuborum culmine. On the apex of the cubes. Everything sounds better in Latin. Believe me.
You know, I'm a bit curious. Can you identify for me some of his more famous contemporaries? I know that his tutor was the great Livy, no?
One of them. Of course, he was much younger than Livy. But anyway.
Well, if he was the tutor, he should have been younger, no?
Yeah, I know. And Livy was the historian, and Asinius Pollio. And if you ever saw I, Claudius movie, there's a beautiful scene, I'll never forget it, where Livius, the historian, and Asinius Pollio, another historian, old men, are sitting on a bench, and they see this young guy with a manuscript on the table. That's Claudius, you know, and he got a book from the library or whatever it was. And they ask Claudius, what do you think about our histories? Oh, it's beautiful. I can almost cry now. And he said, I appreciate Livius's style, but I appreciate more Pollio's history. And he had one of the three most famous men in the world sitting there in the movie. It's very beautiful in the garden.
How do you say movie?
In cinematografeo.
Cinema.
And cinematografeo.
We have a more correct English than you people.
Or I say ludis cinematographicis. We have to do something there.
Okay, well, you didn't tell me who some of his more famous contemporaries were.
41 to 54, exactly 13 years. Well, Seneca was around there. The Plinys were around there. Quintilian was teaching Latin in those days. And the most famous men in the world were there, really. Tacitus was around there.
Talking about famous men, if you had to pair him off with a statesman, who might it be? Napoleon, Kennedy, or Churchill?
My oh my. I would say Churchill.
Why?
I don't know why. Because of the balanced intelligence. He was an intelligent man, but he was very extremely balanced and very kind of moderate. From a distance, as I see things.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a bit flippant. How do you say flippant in Latin?
Flippant. Levis et nugatorius.
Okay. Levis et nugatorius. If he'd had to choose to meet with Gandhi or Mao Tse-tung, who would he have chosen to converse with?
Gandhi, for sure.
Because of the peace thing?
Yeah. Mao might have been a little... He wouldn't have under like extreme, a little too extreme. Maybe, I don't know.
Oh yes, but he. I remember that Claudius, when he issued a coin, no, to emphasize his clemency after the assassination of Caligula, he had on it the depiction of the goddess Pax Nemesis. So maybe he had a thing about peace.
Yeah, certainly.
So he was more of a peacemaker than a rabble-rouser?
Oh, for sure.
How do you say peacemaker and rabble-rouser?
Peacemaker is pacificus and rabble-rouser is vulgi turbator.
Are you more of a rabble-rouser or a peacemaker?
I refuse to comment. And I can understand that. Because he was an intelligent man. I really love Claudius. And he wanted to end all this civil strife. About every 20 years there was another civil war. And after Caligula, you see, and after Claudius came Nero, and they had another one. Everyone was fighting everyone, and he just wanted peace.
He was a judge, too, no?
Well, okay, let's say in the sense that the emperor, you know, would sit there and listen to the cases and decide on the spot. In that sense, he was a judge.
He settled disputes in his colonies. Little bit of translation there. He'd say that he was easily swayed when he
facile me move batur.
When he settled disputes in his colonies.
Cum lites suis in colonias dissolveret. That you can say easily. In fact, he used to go there and say, by the way, I'm coming, and the cases in court I shall preside over. And he would sit there and bing, bang, boom, bum. Then he would go away and other judges would take over.
Claudius was a writer himself. He was a budding historian. How do you say that? A budding historian?
A nascens, well, exoriens historicus. Well, he did. He wrote a whole history of the Etruscan people. Gentis tuscae historiam conscriptit. Well, that was his thing in the library. That's why they thought he was crazy. And he wrote a grammar about the Etruscan language. All of this has been lost. And then another thing he wrote, and that's where you get Robert Graves from. He wrote his own autobiography, which has been lost. So Graves comes along and says, maybe we can kind of reconstruct what he would have written about his own life.
A puzzle.
And that's where he gets,
you know. A puzzle to be put together. How do you say that in Latin?
Okay. Enigma componendum. Mm-mm. Well, see, that's what Robert Graves did, because we know from history that Claudius wrote the history of his own life, like his autobiography, which has been lost. So they tried with Graves and company and Robert and Grant later on, you see, tried to reconstruct what Claudius's autobiography would have looked like. That's how we get the whole books and the movie and everything else. Because of the mention of this autobiography, which we don't have.
He also wrote great edicts.
Edicta?
On everything from medical advice. One of them promoted yew juice for a snake bite. How'd you say that?
Yew juice. What is yew juice?
Well, let's say tree juice.
Many, many. Succum arboris ad anguis morsum. For the snake bite. But also, I never heard of that myself.
Well, I read that somewhere. But he also wrote one on the status of sick slaves.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a bit of a socialite in the sense that he not in the sense of a
and jet, of course,
what not in the sense of a jet setter. How do you say jet setter?
A jet setter, okay. I don't know what a jet setter, how are you going to say? Initial velocissimus cursor.
In the sense that he was interested in social issues.
Oh, absolutely. And you probably don't, I don't know where they had this on your little biography there. He was the first one and caused a big uproar. He appointed many of his freed slaves as his ministers of government, which caused no end of controversy. You know, what they call libertus, a freed slave. He would make Secretary of State and Secretary of Treasury. And these people were very competent, and he knew this. He's an intelligent man. And he started this whole thing of parting out the departments of the government to his freed slaves, which a lot of people didn't like, but it was very intelligent. Because, of course, they were dependent on him. He could trust them, and they were very competent. No, Claudius is a good man.
I read that he cracked lame jokes, which is a horrible thing to say because he was a bit lame himself. No?
Yeah, he had some things I can
but
remember.
This is like a lame joke, no?
Yeah, I mean, in the Senate, he would say some things that he thought were funny, which were not funny at all.
But did he have a sense
like
of humor?
He says, and I think one of my slaves says that he has hair snow in spring, which is half brown and half white, and such stuff. And he thought this was very funny.
You said
that were lame jokes. We have about four or five lame jokes where he thought he was saying something clever, and people were just looking that this idiot thought this was funny.
Okay, one last thing about Claudius, then we'll come back to him some other day. You said he wouldn't have liked the French national anthem, the Marseillaise. Would you have liked any opera?
He'd probably be a little bored with the length of it.
What would you have liked?
I mean, maybe like a little dance and music. That was all right.
Like what?
I don't know what. I mean, a little concert.
A polka.
A polka or a little Mozart or a Haydn concert. All right. 12 minutes. The whole opera he would have... He probably would have gotten very impatient.
Maybe he would have liked Figaro, if he cracked that lame joke on people's hair.
Okay, oh, Figaro, okay, with the barber, okay.
Warm thanks, as always, to our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, the Pope's own Latinist. He'll be back again at this same time next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.